So the Torah tells us, dip the maror in the charoses. The charoses is made of different items which serve as an antidote to the eres of the maror. Okay, let's keep it.
It's bitter becomes sweet. You could go from bitter to sweet.
What do you mean it's bitter to sweet? What, the maror is not sweet, the maror is bitter.
No, the charoses.
The charoses would take, so that's another answer. Mr. Marillus is saying is that the charoses has to be sweet. It doesn't really say that anywhere. It doesn't ever say that the charoses, the primary reason why of dipping the maror in the charoses is an antidote to poison. There's a poison element in maror that has to be neutralized, and somehow whatever ingredients you put in this thing called charos, whatever it's made from, it neutralizes. It doesn't say anywhere that the charoses should be sweet. Maybe that's what a new invention that we do, a new drush, a new idea, maror is bitter. The charoses is sweet, so we're going to sweeten the bitterness. We're going to mahapech mar into mosuk. That's an idea, it's a very nice idea, and it's a beautiful drush, but I do not believe that it's the primary reason. The primary reason is this bitterness, it's poison, it's dangerous, we have to neutralize the poison. Okay, put that aside for one moment. On Rosh Hashanah, the parallel almost to Pesach, what do? We take the custom today is take an apple. The apple really, as we mentioned yesterday from the Agudah, is supposed to be sweet. Okay? It's supposed to be sweet. Okay, and it's the modern, and we dip, it's somehow we dip the apple in the honey, which is not a fair comparison to the mor and the charoses, because that's an older minhag, and this is a more recent minhag to dip the apple in honey, a sweet apple in honey. What is an apple? An apple is a tapuach. Now, it's not necessarily a tapuach, but Chazal very clearly threw around these terms. Tapuach. What is a tapuach? I really do not know. I do not know what a tapuach is. Is a tapuach an apple? Is tapuach some exotic food that we do not know? There are a lot of suggestions. The experts in language, we have one over here, Rav Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen. He's an expert in these matters in language, and the commentators who are experts, they struggle very much to find the precise definition of the tapuach that's mentioned in Tanakh. That's irrelevant for us. Today we take an apple. The apple is the symbolic tapuach. You have an apple? This apple is going to be the placeholder, is going to be the symbolic representation of the tapuach. Is it the real tapuach of the Torah? No, not likely. Very unlikely that an American red apple is the tapuach of the Torah. Very unlikely. But it's good enough. Don't chap me on diktuk. It's good enough. It's a good representative. It plays the part. It's a play. It's a Rosh Hashanah play. You go to a school play, you know, you put on some costumes, and you make believe, good enough. The apple becomes the tapuach. Now let's go to Yitzias Mitzrayim. What happened in Rosh Hashanah? The avoda came to an end. What do we know about the avoda? We know very little about the avoda. There's not much that tells us in real that they took the children, they used them as bricks, they killed children. We know that they had to make bricks with straw. They stopped giving them straw. But what do we know about the impact it had on the people's frame of mind? So there's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim.
Oh,
you hit the nail on the head. Tachas ha-tapuach orar ticha. Okay, I'm not going to present any graphic discussions over here. Tachas ha-tapuach orar ticha, which basically says it all. What happened? The men were working in the hot sun in intense, horrific conditions, and they were about to collapse, they were about to give up and just throw the shovel. And what happens? Their wives show up at the field. Their wives show up, and their wives say, come into the shade. There's a tapuach tree here. Come, take a break. And they go to the tapuach tree, and they rest. And the wives give them some food, some food, some water, some food, and the wives are mefayes, their husbands. And they give them menuchas hanefesh, a frame, they change their frame of mind, and they give them hope, and they go back to work. Tachas hatapuch or articha represents the moment of the avoidas perach, where it was just about, they were ready just to give up, just throw in the shovel, bang, there comes their wives to rescue them, to mimifies them, to give them water, food, some shelter, to mechazek them in the middle of the intensity of the horror of the avoidas perach. What is moror on Rosh, on the moror that we eat on Pesach? We say in the pasuk, vayimoriru es chayehem ba'avodo kosha bechoymer ulveinim. When you eat moror on Pesach, what do you think about? Bitterness. It was bitter. It was concentration camps, labor camps. Okay? It was a horror. It was torture. It was bitter. That's what you think when you take the morah. There's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat morah. Okay? Not today, but because we don't have the Karban Pesach. But b'zman shabes hamikdash shayikam, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat morah. Vayimoru eschayim. You eat the morah. Vayimoru eschayim. Avoid the kasha. When you eat moror, now besides the fact that there is a physical poison, there's a chemical in the moror that can kill a person, so whatever it means, can cause him damage, can damage his health. Besides the chemicals that are in the moror, the frame of mind of eating moror can be lethal to your mental health. When you are in a matzav of bitterness, person is in Siberia, and he's in a labor camp, and he's being tortured. What does it do to your mind? This poison. In any matzav in life where a person is overwhelmed with tsar, tragedy, trauma, there's poison. It's not just the experience and the pain that's happening now. There's poison being injected into the person's mind that will damage his future. Maybe by some miracle, this horror will come to an end. Come to an end, a miracle. He'll be liberated. And then what? Then what? Go back to where you came, go back to life. No, I'm not going back to life. I don't want to live anymore. I've been damaged. There's been poison. In the moror, there's poison. I can't go back to life anymore. I'm done with life. The labor, the slave labor is over, but the poison has permanently damaged me going forward. When you eat the moror on Lel Pesach, you have to dip it in charoses. Why? Just because it's true. Don't let that affect you going forward. Shake off the poison. Put into the moror an antidote that it should not affect your mental health. So that if a miracle will happen, that you will be released. You will be released if Rosh Hashanah will come around. Okay, if Rosh Hashanah will come around and the avoidas perach will come to an end, you should have the frame of mind to proceed in life. Guess what? Rosh Hashanah is that day. The avoidas perach has come to an end. Wow, I'm released. And now what? I'm a depressed old man. I'm going nowhere. I'm just going to go give up on life. Why? I've been poisoned. No, you've not. You've been tortured. You've been humiliated. You've been crushed. But guess what? You have not been poisoned. Because you had chalosis. The chalosis saved you. And today is Liberation Day. What do you celebrate on Liberation Day? You celebrate the chalosis. What's in the chalosis? What is the main ingredient of the chalosis? Apples. The chalosis, one of the asks the women, what do they put in the chalosis? Apples. You're supposed to put apples in the chalosis. Rosh Hashanah, you take those apples. And you pick it up. Tapuach zeh. Sha'anu oichlem al shuma. Al shuma. I wasn't poisoned. I ate the maror. Achazoin ishir maror on Pesach. Lel Pesach, chazoin ishir, a lot of maror. Humiliation, crushing labor, churban like never before. Rachmana litzlan le'olenu. But I wasn't poisoned. The eres of the maror didn't, because of the apples. The apples. Tachas hatapuach or articha. When the Noshim Tzidkaniyos came to their husbands, what did they do? What in essence did the women do when they came under the tapuach to save their husbands? They came to give them charoises. They didn't take away the tsar. They didn't take away the crushing labor. They didn't take away from them the humiliation and the pain and the back-breaking labor. You know what the women did when they showed up in the field with some water and some baby wipes to take away the perspiration on their face and this and that? They took away the poison, the eres in the mora. Don't worry, he'll be okay. And when the day will come, when this labor camp will be liberated, you'll be able to pick yourself up and go back to life like it never happened before. Tachas ha-tapuach, the tapuach was the charoises for the avoida kosha, the choymer uvelevein. Rosh Hashanah is Liberation Day. D-Day, it's Liberation Day. We're out of here. But not everyone who was liberated in the war, in these horrible wars, were able to go back to life. They were liberated, and what happened to them? Who knows? That was over. It was over. The liberation wasn't for them a salvation. It was just more torture because they were so damaged. Rachmana litzlan, can't go back to life. The tapuach tachas ha-tapuach or artichah. That was the charoses. Today is Liberation Day, Rosh Hashanah. We're liberated. Rosh Hashanah is a new year. Whatever happened this year is over. All the craziness this year, I don't know, for me, it's even more crazy than last year. Last year, I mean, that's not nice to say. I don't mean it like that. Last year, there was a lot of death. It was really scary. Death every day. This one, that one died, and that one died, and this one died. Gotta be kidding. Gotta be kidding. Everyone died. Corona. It was like unreal. Okay, they say the statistics by the firm community, some argue, was much worse than by the Goyim. I know the Goyim, millions of people, whatever, in the world, and millions of people in the United States, 600,000 people, they're fighting, they'll fight forever who really died. They'll fight over the numbers, every single day, mamish. I get the real news. I have back channels. I have one of those devices where you get to see things you're never going to see in the mainstream media. Literally every single day there's a new study. How many people died? More people than they say, less people, this and that. Who cares? Bottom line is, a lot of people died. All of them are all related to this disease, this horrible. This year, there were a lot of people who died. Not as much, but a lot of people. But it was crazy. It was a crazy, crazy year. People became a shugoyim. Vaccine and this and this and this. Fighting like shugoyim. Everyone became nasty. Everyone became selfish. Everyone became politics like mamish. crazy, crazy, crazy. Not to be believed. What the world turned into. And it's over, by the way. When it comes Rosh Hashanah, it's a clean slate. It's a clean slate. It doesn't matter who's the president, not the president. In Hashkafa, it's the Yom HaDin. It's fresh. Okay, it's Liberation Day. All of the craziness of the previous year is gone. But now what? Now what? Where am I going? There's no world to go out to. The whole world has been destroyed already. So where are you going? Rosh Hashanah passes. Rosh Hashanah is over. So what's next? The day after Rosh Hashanah. Good. I was liberated. Mazel tov. I got out of a labor camp. And now what? I've been so damaged by the crazy trauma that has affected the world. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing to do anymore. That's what you take on Rosh Hashanah. The apple. Tachas hatapuch arartiha. The charoises is here for us. The charoises has saved us from the poison of the craziness. Baruch Hashem, the craziness is over. All the mishugoyim, sit down and behave yourself. It's over. And Baruch Hashem, we're not affected by this. We're not affected. Now we can just go back and be busy with our Meshugasim, like we were before. Go back to what it was before, because Tachas Hatapuach Orarticha, under the apple tree I have aroused you. I have prevented you from becoming poisoned from the Moror. Rosh Hashanah, the Avoda came to an end. And when a person thinks to himself, so what? Who cares that it's over? I have nowhere to go anymore. Wrong. You have where to go. Go back to life, because you have been blessed. You have been the antidote. You have been given the true antidote through this entire process of the charoses. And pick up that charoses and celebrate it. Celebrate the tapuach on Rosh Hashanah. The year is over. Now we can go back and proceed, and there's no collateral damage because of the antidote. When we ate the moror, and the moror has the eres was neutralized through the charoses, and we celebrate the bracha of the charoses on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so this is.
By the way,
the Shirashirim. So that idea is another idea, beautiful. That idea would reflect that we are different than the Umay So'ila. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom Hadin, not just for us, but the entire world. Kol boye oilam oivim lefanecha kivnei moroim. But Klal Yisrael gets different treatment. They go business class. We're all going, we're oirim lefanecha, we're passing din. Some people sit economy and some people sit go biz. Klal Yisrael is business class. Kitapuach ba'atzei hayar. In the atzei hayar, there are ugly trees. No legroom, no place to put your luggage on top. Squashed in between two people that you really don't want to be in between, with a child behind you banging on your head the whole flight. And then you sit in, people sit in first class, they come, they serve you like a king. Klal Yisrael is the tapuach ba'atzayar, kein dodi bein habonos. So we're all being over lefonecha, and the tapuach, the beauty of the tapuach in the forest, is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Klal Yisrael, the Yom Hadin, relative to the Umay Salamai. That's another idea of the Tapuach. These are just different ideas. Okay, let me go to another idea. This idea I find to be it's a small point, but yet it really resonates with me. And I think there are Dvarim Ha'imdim Beruma Shalayla. I came across a medrash, never heard this medrash before. Never heard this fascinating medrash. We read the Akedah on the second day. Everything I mentioned last week, or this week, whatever, that every single thing on the Yom HaDin of Rosh Hashanah, HaKol HaLech El Mokoyim Echad, is all goes back to the Akedah. Akedah, Akedah, Akedah. Wherever you blink, Akedah, Akedah, Akedah. It's all about the Akedah. Zechor B'ris Avram, it's all about the Akedah. There's a Medrash, I came across a Medrash. It's quoted in the Avnei Shalom, shocking Medrash. When Hashem said to Avram, slaughter your child, well, so he went 3 days, pull, he went, put him on, he tied him up, put him on the Mizbeach, took out the knife, and as he took out the knife in Shemayim, they got nervous that this might actually happen. They got nervous. This is really gonna go through. He's gonna do this, Avram. He's really gonna do it. He's really gonna slaughter his son. So they sent out a SWAT team. They sent the Malach. You know, everything takes time. Nothing happens in an instant. You know, you got to deploy. You got to call up the reserves. And you got to, you know, retrain them. You got to get them on a plane. Wheels up. At this time of this, you know, 0300 hours, better be on that plane. They send out an emergency WhatsApp to the Malachi Ashores. We got a problem here. This person, Abraham, he's really going to do it. He's really going to slaughter Yitzchak. We don't want that to happen. Send out your best SWAT team now to prevent this from happening. They all deployed. But it takes time to travel from Shemayim to the Aretz to get to the Makom HaKedah. This traffic, gridlock. You ever go to Yerushalayim? It's gridlock. The prime minister is on. We can't get there. So they go. They have all the pull to go through all the red lights. But you know, there's not enough time to get there, to make it on time. Avram Avinu is about to do it, and the ETA, the estimated time of arrival of Malachi Hashares, is in another 20 seconds. They're not going to make it. Yitzchak's already going to be in the Olam HaEmes by the time they arrive. It's about, so what happens? Pasuk says, Avram, he takes the sakib. It says in the Medrash, and before you do a shechita, you check the knife. You check the knife. Takes the knife, lifts it up, the fingernail, and it goes down, up and down. Right? You know how you do a shechita, you have to check the chalaf. Check the chalaf, you have to check three sides, the blade and this side. He checks the knife to make sure there are no nicks in the knife. What are you checking the knife? You already checked it already. You checked it already, but before you left 3 days ago, when Hashem told you, you prepared everything. You prepared Ahinei, Ha'esh, V'Ha'etzim. Everything is ready to go. Avraham Yitzchak himself says, Dad, you mamash, you look like you're ready to slaughter someone. Who are you shachting? Who's cooking fish? You're cooking fish. Who are you shachting over here? You're the carver. I'm the carver. Oh, I'm the carver. Everything is ready to go. He already checked the knife. He bought a new knife. He has there. What are you checking the knife again? Who asked you to check it again before you do the Ma'aseh Shechita? No. It's a carver. It has to be perfect. I don't want any. And we check it again. Hachonah. Check it again. Because Avraham Avinu spent 20 more seconds checking the knife again, the Malachi Hashares were able to just make it on time and say, "Al tishlach yodcha el hanavi al tasloi mu'uma." It says in the Medrash. I'm not making this up. The Medrash says this. When they saw that he was about to shecht it, really? He's really going to do this? Hashem said, you don't have to. Kachno! If you want to do, if you don't want to, I have no timeness on you. And who's going to shecht their own son? You know, Hashem wants human sacrifices. Avram is really going to do this. Hashem promised, Ki b'yitzak yikor l'chazara. He's really going to do this. They don't think he's going to do this. No, he's really going to do this. Send out a SWAT team. No, guys, you better get there. You better hold on. We'll hold off. They start running. Hatzalah. They go through all the red lights, but they're not going to make it in time. They need another 20 seconds to make it in time to save Yitzchak. There's no way it's going to happen. Avraham Avinu is about to shecht you. Wait a minute. I have to check the knife. Make sure it's perfect. Picks up the knife. Goes up and down. Make sure. Took him 20 seconds. Those 20 seconds saved the life of Yitzchak. Pilei Parim. Otherwise, if not for him checking the knife, it would have been over. He would have been the Ilam Ha'emes. And what about all the psukim? No. Yes, it's a kasha. What's going to be with Chal Yishol? No. That's not our business. What do you take out of this? You take out of this that you lose nothing when you serve Hashem the Shleimus. An incredible Musaha, the whole Avodas Hayom is all about the Akev. And we're here to talk about the Akev, because the Akev, it didn't happen. Because at the end of the day, Al Tishlach Yodcha El Hana. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was so committed to do the Akedah with a degree of perfection that's beyond comprehension. That is what saved him from himself. His dedication to Hashem was not just, okay, you want me to do it? I'll do it, but I can't watch. I can't watch this. I can't watch myself slaughtering my child. I'll just look the other way. I'm not going to go check that. I can't do that. I'll do it. You want me to do it? I'll do it. You want me to give tzedakah? I'll give tzedakah. You want me to do this? I'll do this. I can't deal with the details, because I don't have patience. I'm not interested. No. Avraham Avinu was mekayim the mitzvah of the Akedah with such perfection and such devotion, he even checked the knife one more time to make sure it would be perfect. And that extra degree of devotion that was not necessary and not required is what allows us to exist today. So when we dwell on the zuchus of the Akedah, the zuchor b'ris Avraham, the only reason why we can say zuchor b'ris Avraham is because Avraham didn't just do the Akedah. He did it with a shleimus. Now, by the way, this idea also opens up an entirely new world into the minhag that we mentioned last week. There's a minhag to sharpen your challah knife. Erev Rosh Hashanah. We discussed it. Is the minute to buy a new challah knife, or is it to sharpen the challah knife? So many of the people who have done research, they all say the Olam says to buy a new knife. It's not correct. The minig is to sharpen the knife. It's very specific, not to buy the new knife. Okay, you want to buy a new knife, so in the challah you buy a new knife, you're buying a sharp knife. But the bigger minig is to sharpen. You say it's not because you're a cheapo. I don't want to buy a new knife, so instead of bar, no, it's to sharpen the knife. And there's a lot of Jewish, what does that mean? To sharpen this, you know, all that we have different ideas we discussed about that it should be smooth. The cut should be smooth. This medrash opens up a new world. The reason why you sharpen the knife is because if not for Avraham Avinu checking for the sharpness of the knife, we wouldn't be here today to talk about it. And it captures the main point is it captures the extreme devotion of Avraham Avinu. Yeah?
I think what you're saying is that afterwards, when Avraham was told not to shecht, he went ahead and he shechted the knife.
Not right.
He should have said it.
Oh, I'm free.
Yeah, he should have said something. No. He still wants to do
it. He still wants to do an avoid the Sasha. Okay. Now, I want to tell you one more var. This is what I'm telling you now, a third var. This is what I'm telling you now. Is very, very chaviv to me. I hope I can bring out the idea in a way that it will be chaviv to you. It says in Chazal, on Rosh Hashanah, Gimel Noshim Nifkida. There were three women on Aleph Tishrei who were remembered. And we read about all three of them on Rosh Hashanah. Who are the three women? Sarah. Vahashem Pokare Soro Kasher Amor. I don't have a good voice, but Sarah. was, remember the opening line in the laning, with a unique melody. Hashem remembered Sarah, and she had a child. Yitzchak. Who is the second one to be remembered on Rosh Hashanah? Rachel. Rachel was remembered. Rachel was an akara. Leah already had 6 children. And Bilhah, her maidservant, had 2. And did she already have children? I remember, I don't know the sequence of all. But Hashem had Rachmanus on Rachel. Rashi tells us, it says, Vayizkar Elokim. I remember the exact, Hashem remembered her. Vatahar, Vatelet, she had a child, Yosef. And Rashi says, what exactly did Hashem remember? Hashem remembered that under the chuppah, she gave away her the simonim to her sister Leah, so that she should not be embarrassed. Hashem remembered that. And thus Hashem said, it's not fair that she should not have a child. Vayizkor Elokim es Rachel, Vatar, Vatelet, Yosef, fine, chul. Asaf Hashem es Chepasah, she had a child. Vayizkor. Excellent. Who's the third one that Hashem remember? Chana. By the way, we read about Rachel when? The Haftorah of the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Koil Braman Nishma. I don't remember the whole pasuk. Bechi v'tamrurim. Rachel mevako al bonel. She cried for her children. And in the merit of her cries, Klal Yisrael was saved. Hashem said there will be v'shavu banim l'gvulam. In what? The same exact remembrance. In the zuchus of giving the simanim to her sister Leah. That zuchus is what afforded her, gave her the child Yosef, and that zuchus is what gave Klal Yisrael a guarantee there would be a bayis shlishi. So we read about Rachel on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We're reminded of the whole story, the tears of Rachel. Hashem remembered her, the same thing that Hashem used to remember to give her a child. Rachel was remembered on Rosh Hashanah. Who's the third one? Chana. Chana and Penina, Elkanah. Penina had many children, Chana had no children. Penina would tease her, L'shem Shemayim, to be Mispalo. She went to Eli HaKoyim, she davened in the Beis HaMikdash. Eli thought that she was a Shikoira, and she said to him, you don't know what you're talking about, I'm a Keshera, not a Shikoira. She gave him Musa. Meir loves this Haftarah. It's because a woman is giving Musa to a man. Meir, are you listening? Okay? She gave him Shtarka Musa. Yes?
Can I just point out something that just occurred to me, that all three of them gave up something.
What did they give up?
Sarah allowed
Hagar.
Right, encouraged her.
Rachel gave up
the simanim, and Hannah gave her child up to the kibbutz.
Beautiful. That's a very beautiful point you made. What do these three women have in common? They gave up. Okay, I'm going to elaborate upon that. I wanted to say something different, but let's review what you said in a moment. Very good. Okay, these are the three. These three nashim. And now what came from these three nashim? 3 children. What came from Sarah? Yitzchak. What came from Rachel? Yosef. What came from Chana? Shemuel. So Rabbi Chol just said, why do we focus on these three? Because these three gave up something. They gave up big. What did Sarah give up? Well, she gave Hagar. Ulai ibonem imena. She merited to have Yitzhak because of the zchus she said she took in. She wanted to be the foster mother of Yishmael. Ulai ibonem mimenu. Rachel, she gave up the zchus that she won, that was needed. She gave up her marriage to Yaakov. Her sister should not be embarrassed. And Chana made a deal. She made a deal with Hashem. She made a neder. If you give me a child, I will lend him to you. Shiltiu. I will lend him to you all the days of his life. I will give him over to the Beis HaMikdash, to Eli HaKoyen, I will devote him. I'm not going to be selfish and have him sit in the house where I can have a child to take care of me. I'm going to give him up. I'm going to send him away when he's 2 years old. I'm going to send him out to the Beis HaMikdash. He should be devoted to the service of Hashem. They all gave up something. When you want to make a deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam and Rosh Hashanah, you're saying a very big musaf or a mechol. Mechol is about musaf. You want that Hashem should remember you. But what are you giving in this? What's a one-way street? What is this? An entitlement? This is the United States government. You just take it, you don't give. What are you giving? What are you giving on Rosh Hashanah to deserve the gift of the Hashem remembering you? You have to sacrifice something. You have to make a ned. You have to commit yourself. A lot of Bali Muslims, they talk about this. They talk about, you know, it's not for everyone, this idea. If you want something from Hashem, to make a commitment. Make a commitment. Mikanu l'haba, I'm going to do this. Mikanu l'haba. I know someone that was very, very sick recently. And Baruch Hashem is much, much better now. And I found out recently that one of his, he deals with certain types of children that are, you know, many, some of them are off the derech. Some of them are, you know, are at risk, whatever these make-believe terms mean. And there was someone that this person, he really touched his heart. But he wasn't really fully observant. And when he heard that this person was very sick, he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm going to be Shomer Shabbos. I'll make a deal with you. I will be a Shomer Shabbos. I'll do mine, and you, Hashem, you better heal this person. You better make sure he gets better very soon. And kachava, right now, the person is much, much better. Much better, Baruch Hashem. Very good prognosis. He went through a lot. And this person, Shomer Shabbos, made a deal. He made a deal with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I hear a lot about this type of thing. Is this a proper hashkafa? I guess it is. I'm not saying it's not. It's very powerful. It really...
I don't think it is, because how can you tell Hashem what to do?
Right, so you have to be very delicate. You have to be very delicate. You can't tell Hashem what to do. There's no question about it, but it's a schus. You're right. Rabbi Lezer, he's saying it's... Okay, it has to be nuanced. It has to be nuanced and understood.
Very often people say, I will give this money, tzedakah, in the hope and the prayer that Hashem will heal this person or do this.
That's
or that.
Easy. You just give a one-shot tzedakah. Okay, it's not easy to give tzedakah either. But I'm saying to be mekabel upon yourself, be a Shomer Shabbos. This person is not a Shomer Shabbos. And that's a big commitment. It's a big commitment. It's not an easy thing. Okay, there's certain, it's like a musr. I'm no longer going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to, you know, it's not so simple, and it's very, very powerful. I guess the reason why it bothers me is because I'm such a selfish person. I have a hard time doing it myself. That's the reason why it bothers me, because I'm jealous of these people. I just can't put my act together. But
people do that, also tell them, let's everybody give up something.
Right. Okay, it has to be done with very carefully, with consultation of people who you know, understand these things. Not just throw things around. Like, it's not so simple. Okay,
it's
but here's...
like a netter, right?
Yeah. Okay, you have to be careful. Is it a netter? How do you express it? Bli netter. You're right. This guy, that's not talking. I'm running out of time. This is where Mechol is saying. Mechol is saying over here is the common denominator of these things. They all gave up something. They all made a deal. They made a deal with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay? Ula Ibon Mimena. She gave over the Siman. They did something very powerful. I want to tell you another idea, a different idea, which resonates with me very much. And that is, three children came from the Hashem Pak Adesar. There's something that these three children have in common with each other. They're part of a club, a VIP club. Yitzchak, Yosef, and Shmuel. Yitzchak, Yosef, and Shmuel are a club of children of people whom Hashem was poikez. Hashem, Gimel Noshem Nifkidu B'Rosh Hashanah. And what came from the Pekida? Yitzchak, Yosef, and Shmuel. So they're part of a club. They're sitting around the table together. Private dinner for these three children. They're the product. What do they have in common besides the fact that Hashem remembered their mother? Each one of these three experienced in their life a moment when their life was on the line, was hanging in the balance. Mi yichye, mi yomus. It could have gone for each one of these three. In a moment, they could have left this world prematurely. Yitzchak was 37 years old. He lived to 180. So he was here, he was a mamasha, you know, in diapers. I don't know what that's nice to say, but he was in the youth of his life. Okay? 37 years old on the Akedah. In 1 second, he would have been out of this world. The knife was on his neck. Avraham was in motion. Vayikrei lov malach Hashem and Hashem vayim. Avraham, Avraham, al tishlach yodcha l'navi al tas l'mu'uma. Stop. If they would not have arrived a split second, a fraction of a second, it would have been over. His life hung in the balance. Yosef? Oh! Hine bal hachaloyma is halozeba. L'chu? Does it ben hargeu? Doesn't it say ben hargeu? Let's eliminate him. We'll have a hellfire missile, drone strike, elimination of the target. Tarayv Taraf Yosef. Listen, what do you want? The Taliban, they have all the American weapons. They went and they, you know, they launched a missile. Laser target, what do you want from us? Tarayv Taraf Yosef. Then they even they decided not to kill him, they threw him into the pit. Rav Mordechai Mintz is saying, Vehaborek. Maya Mainbo. Yeah, Maya Mainbo, but the Khoshan Vyakrovin Yeshboy. His life was on the line. They take him down to Egypt. They could have killed him in 1 second. His life hung in the balance. Shmuel, it's in the Haftarah. What happened with Shmuel? He was 2 years old. 2 years old, they brought him to Shmuel. He grew up, he was trained. And one day there was a she'ela, shechita kashera bizarre. Can a Yisrael do an act of shechita? And Shmuel says yes. He said yes in the presence of his Rebbe Eli. Talmud hamoyre halacha bifnei rabbi chayav nisa. Okay, it's very shocking to hear such words, and what it means is not for now, but that's what it says. Chayav nisa. Shmuel said to, Eli said to Shmuel, you will die. What did he do? He took out his smartphone, he called up his mother, Ma, Chana, I got a problem. I'm on death row. Come save me. She comes to save. And she comes to Shmuel, and she's in the Haftarah. She says to Shmuel, remember me? Remember me, Chan? I was here, the woman who gave you Musar. I'm here to give you Musar again. You don't kill people for this.
Don't worry, I'll get you another
child. Don't. So Shmuel says, don't worry, he'll die, and you'll have another child. And what does she say? El Hanar Hazeh Hispalolti. I'm Yeruchim Levavitz. Al Hanar Hazeh Hispalolti. And she won the day. But until she won the day, the life of Shmuel hung in the balance. We have here three children who are the products of a Hashem Pakat, Gimel Noshim. They're part of a club, but the club is not just that Hashem remembered them. Each one of these three people, their life could have come to an end in a moment. Their life hung in the balance. They were like,
everyone?
What?
True for almost everyone in their life.
Okay, but these three are in the Torah and Tanakh. Ishei HaTanakh. Go through. Rachel. Chazal said that Hashem remembered Rachel on Rosh Hashanah. Gimel Noshim Nifkidu on Rosh Hashanah. Rachel's one of the three. Why are Chazal highlighting these three Noshim? It's not that they're highlighting these three Noshim that Hashem listened to their prayers. Here's what Chazal are highlighting. These three people had children. Fast forward 37 years. Fast forward, how old was Shmuel when this happened? I don't know. Make believe he was 10 years old. I don't know. Make believe he was 10 years old when it happened. Just for argument's sake. He was 10 years old. How old was Yosef? He was 17 years old. 17 years since Hashem Pakat Esrachel. 10 years from the time Hashem was, let's say 13 years. Shmuel was 13 years. Make believe. So Hashem. 37 years from the time Hashem Pakat his Sarah. Here they are, Al Derech HaTeva, they should have died. Al Derech HaTeva, these three people should have died. They were holding at the moment the Malach HaMoves has arrived. The Malach HaMoves is here. I'm here to take you. And you know what happened at that moment? Vahashem pokad esor. Vayizkor l'kim esrocha. Chana, Hashem remembered her. The Pekida wasn't just the Pekida that they conceived and had a child. The Pekida, when the Malach HaMoves is about to take away the life of Yitzchak because of the Akedah, in Shemayim, there's a whole storm. Hashem, you're gonna let him die? How could you let him die? Didn't you? Wasn't there the Hashem Pokar Esara? Is this what it means? The Hashem Pokar Esara? That he should live for 37 years and die like this? With no children, no future? Is that what the we're going to come back and we're going to look back in history and we're going to say, yeah, the Hashem Pokar Esara. What kind of Pekidu was it? 37 years. Poof. No children, no nothing, it's all over. When Shmuel's paskin, Yechayev Misa, you're going to die. So we're going to look back. Oh, Chana was Nifkida. Chana, she came to the Beis HaMikdash, Vehim Moras Ruach. She was a woman in Tsar. She davened. She gave Eli Musar. And she said, Eli says, you're right. I'm going to be mispalef you. Hashem was poiket to Chana. That's the Pekida. That he should live a couple of years, 13 years. And then, poof, goodbye. Never existed off the face of this world. When Hashem remembered Rachel, you gave the simonim to your sister Leah. I'm remembering you. I'm going to give you a child. Yeah, what kind of Pekida? He lived for 17 years, got into a fight with his brothers, and the brothers killed him. That's the Pekida. That's what it means, a Pekida. This is not correct. You can't do this. And Hashem said, You're right. Vahashem pokad esara. Hashem's word is gold. It's gold. If Hashem is pokad esara, when Hashem delivers, he delivers big. Big. With guarantees, insurance, with all the bells and whistles, all the trimmings. Hashem does something, he does it b'shleimus. This Hashem pokad esara, don't worry, he'll survive the akedah. Rachel, you gave the simanim to Leah, and vayizkor l'kim, I'm going to remember you, and I'm giving you a child, I'm going to give you the real deal. Nothing's going to happen to him. I'll take care of him his whole life. And the same for Shmuel. That is what we're looking for on Rosh Hashanah. It's interesting because when there's no Pekida, it's just easy. Person, oh, gets married, you have a child. There's no Pekida. I mean, there is a Pekida to some degree, but it's not like a big deal, right? A person needs something. Kachi darka shalala. You get married, you get married, and you have children. No big deal. It's teva. It's nature. The goyim do this all the time. They don't even get married after children. No big deal. So then when there's a moment in life, when there's a sakana, no, derech ha'olam is sakana. B'makom, the shchiyah hezeka, poof, it's over. But when it doesn't come so easy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu denies a person what other people get easily, and he has to work and sweat and do things to be zoiche to a Yeshua. And then the day comes and Hashem says, you know, I gotta have rachmonis. The Hashem pokad. Wow, that's a package deal. That pekida, it would be a bezoyin for the Ribbono Shel Olam to do a pekida and then it's curtains. Just one day, the guy just walking down the street, he collapses and he dies. What? Hashem, after all that? That's not acceptable. Not acceptable. It's a different type of Pekida. That's the Musa of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, Gimel Noshim Nifkidu, the Pekida was a Pekida of Nitzchis. It wasn't just, okay, no, you need something, you need a couple of bucks, you need this, you need that. It's nourish. There's an incredible depth in this Pekida. It endured throughout the person's life. Hashem was their guardian. The Pekida goes with you your whole life. Chazal selected these three people to show you what a Pekida is. Each one of these three had a moment where they could have died. This is a something which Tanakh devoted itself to elaborate to the nth degree of how their life was on the line. Certainly with Yosef, certainly with the Akedah, and certainly the Haftorah. El Hanar Hazeh Hispalolti. Don't give me this business that this child's going to die. I prayed for this one. I don't want him to die. You're right. It's a whole different madrega of intensity in the depth of a Hashem Parkat. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. All the best, everyone. Zay Gizom. Harav Kohn, good morning. Shalom Aleichem.
Do we have a minion there? No.
No.
Where's
everybody today? No. Today is Chazan Yartzai? But Mayor, you didn't say whose Yartzai is today. Today.
And Rabbi Uziel.
Who?
The chief rabbi of Israel.
And yesterday was 9/11.
Yeah.
Yes, it was 9/11. You know, it's very.
It hasn't stopped. 9/11 is still continuing. Biden is continuing the 9/11.
You know, it's very spooky to me that he ended. He was in a mad rush to end the war in Afghanistan. 20 years. It was in a mad rush, like mamish. I'm not here to give a political commentator here for you now. And when did it end? When did they come out from the white? I'd say, the war is over. The last soldier has left Afghanistan. The war is over, even though it's not really over. But the declaration was exactly the last day of 20 years on the Hebrew calendar of 20 years. He declared war on 9/11. When's a person's real birthday? The real birthday is the day before. The Hashlama is if Moshe was born on Zayin Adar, the end of a year is Vav Adar. That's the last day. That's the Shlemus. A week is 7 days. The eighth day I don't know. I have no idea what this means. But everything is Bahashkacha Pratis. 20 years to the day on the Jewish calendar.
Yeah, but the
Jews are us. He declared, that it's over, even though we know that it's not really over. Nothing is ever over. But what was the rush? Pachad, mamish, rush, to get out of there. Last plane, the day before the yard site of the people who died, 9/11, 20 years bidyuk. What is the message? What is Hashem saying to us? What? Ein anu li hishon elavim. That's pashut. Ein anu li hishon elavim b'shem
b'shemayim.
The Hebrew date. The yard site. The Hebrew date. 9/11 took place on Chaf Gimel. Chaf Gimel. Yesterday was the day. Yeah, Chaf Gimel from the day when the last plane left and one of his I don't remember who came out of the White House and they said, the last soldier has left. The war is over. Huh. In the 20 years,
I think it just began.
I know. We all know the truth. It just began, unfortunately. But it's unsettling.
You know what it means?
And what does it mean? I have no idea.
Half the Bible, half them is a grandmother. Half know what's going on.
Most of the world is good. Most of the world has no clue what's going on. It's amazing how it happens.
I think it's a lesson for us as well that in the meantime, heard that
they're acting up.
What? No, I mean, heard that Bennett gave in to him on Iran. He said he wasn't going to. Supposedly, they criticized him because they said he was not he was not going to do any surprises.
What do you mean?
In other words, I think that Bennett was going to give the patience with to see how it goes. He wasn't going to. He gave Biden an indication that Israel was not going to attack themselves.
We don't really know what this story is.
Sorry?
We don't really know what this story is.
He could have been asleep also. I don't know. Sure.
They said there are new reports that when Netanyahu was still president, was still prime minister when Biden came in.
Yeah.
And they wrote this up is that he significantly reduced intelligence share.
Netanyahu
with Biden relative to Trump.
They know him already. Yes.
They basically Netanyahu knows that we're on our own here.
Yeah.
We're on the Biden guy, is not.
You know who runs the show? His wife runs the show.
I knew right away when I said his wife's
the president.
I didn't know that. That's what came out. That's the
same
around.
Thing would happen with Wilson. Wilson had a stroke. His wife ran the show.
There are a lot of rebels.
What?
Lubavitch, the reacts. Why is Menachem Mendel, why is he the rebel? Menachem Mendel. Why is he the rebel?
Rabbi.
Yeah, wait, one second. Okay. Why is Rabbi Nachman the rebbe? The day when the Riyats died, everyone was ready for Gur Ari to be appointed the new rebbe.
Yeah.
All systems go. Everything was ready to go.
Yeah.
The rebbe said, no. I won't do that.
Rabbi said?
She didn't say those words. No, not yet. Rabbi Nachman Mendel, he was running the library, let him continue. Gurari was running the yeshiva, was all the way around. And any money decisions, I'm going to make the decisions. No, don't make him the Rebbe. He's the oldest one was Gurari. He's supposed to be. So Chassid, Rabbi Nachman, fine. Then it got to a point where he said, no, you can't go on like this. We need the Rebbe.
Yeah.
If Lubavitch, Lubavitch is going to go on, we need a rabbi. So we gotta, someone's gotta go to the rabbi and tell her, I can.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they said, who's gonna be the rabbi?
Yeah.
Rari? Rabbi Nachman Mendel. It's much, much more charismatic. Much better.
Yeah.
If we anyway have to give a sex to the rabbi, let's give Rabbi Nachman Mendel the rabbi.
It's over Brook Park now.
You know, it's a good idea. Went to Menachem Mendel. Want to be the rebbe? Quit your job.
I was in law
in the shipping yard. He's an electrical engineer. Quit your job. Be the rebbe. Anyway, the Lubavitch was peanuts. The whole thing, all the chassidim were fried people. Lubavitch was mamish on the verge of collapse. It was mamish a shtibel. It was a joke. So he says, Menachem, you want to be the rebbe? No, I'm not the rebbe. What? He's a rebbe? Crazy? He's been groomed. I have a job. I work in the shipping yard. Crazy?
Yeah.
My brother-in-law has been groomed for his whole life.
Yeah.
We won the East.
And then they started pressuring him. More people got involved. And then he came around to realize that Chabad will come to an end. It was a shtibel. It was a joke.
Yeah.
Not a shtibel. If someone steps up to pray and takes leadership.
Yeah. But it was the Rebbetzin that
slowly, and then they basically told Rebbetzin, sorry, I got bad news for you.
Yeah, you're out.
Rebbe, you're out, and Menachem. What? If you're going to make a Rebbe, make Gerari the Rebbe. Don't make him the Rebbe.
Yeah.
No, we want him to.
Okay, everybody.
So she never gave him the strength.
I'm
sorry. I had a private conversation. I had to talk to him something private. Yep. What's
Brian,
doing?
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Yeah. After he asked the question, I wanted to ask you or tell you the reason for the Akedah.
Okay. Okay. Wait, what's the question? What's your question first? See.
But you mentioned several times the word pekida, and I'm not sure if I understand what that means. What the word means?
The means to remember. To remember. It's like similar to zechira, zohar, zechir. To remember. Now it doesn't
and
just mean to.
Logically, it means to put one's head
the Kuf Dalet is the same as Kuf Kari.
So what do you mean? What do you mean? What does it mean? What are you saying? It means to do what? To put your head where? To put your head.
Okay. There is. You forgot something. You remember. You recall. Then you are aware, but you don't do anything, and all of a sudden you do something. That's you put your head to, that is parkat. In other words, he didn't forget her. It's just that he didn't do something positive to her.
Took action. You took action based upon
that's the difference between
Zechira and Pekida.
Zechira and Pekida. The pur of pur is an element in a transitive roots. It's a complicated Misa. So Kuf Dalet is the Shoresh, and that's related to Kot Koy. So it means put your head to something.
Apply yourself.
You didn't forget.
Right, you apply yourself.
You are aware.
You take action. But
Apply yourself positively. That is parkat, the difference between parkat and sotar.
Very good.
Forgot.
Rav Tzvi, you understand? You hear Rav Tzvi what he's saying? Vashem parkat es sorry. Doesn't mean that Hashem, he remembered her to the degree where Hashem applied himself to make sure she would conceive and have a child. There was an action. There was an action that resulted from Hashem remembering Sarah. He made a decision to apply. He paid attention. He acknowledged that there is an issue. Right, he never forgot. I'm aware of the situation, but now we're going to go to the next level. We're going to take action based upon my awareness, based upon the reality of what's in front of me.
That's the significance of
Pekida.
Yes.
Right. Now, so, could you say that when Hashem started to take us out of this shrine, that was also
a... Yes. Pakod pokadeti eschem. That's the code word. The code word for Mashiach.
Yes, Hashem waited for the B'nai Yisrael to be mishalel. When Vata'al Zakosom El Shemayim, in other words, the Rachel said, look, if I'm Yisrael, if you're happy with your situation, I'm not going to take any action. But when the B'nai Yisrael, Vata'al Zakosom, they will mispalel. So Hashem says, all right, I have to listen and I have to take action.
Is that what we shift at that time?
We're waiting. We're passive. We have to be active.
How come there weren't bands with speakers and announcing in the streets? Everybody screaming for Mashiach, praying for Mashiach. Well, that's Hashem for Mashiach. You know, how come nobody's
not aware? The leadership is not telling Am Yisrael, be mispalel for this.
Because he's saying that we were remembered in Mishraim, but we called out.
Because we called out. Batal Shabbosom El Shemayim, Vayishvash Shabbosom.
You know, Jews in America are very comfortable. I mean, they have beautiful homes, and they
can't be passive. They have to take active action.
You know,
you're right. It's a big, big problem.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to get back to the Akedah.
Okay.
First of all, it's a machlokes in the Medrash. Vayi achad var meila.
Okay.
Okay, it's my word is whether by the Abha is Somos to the previous Pasha, or whether it's just the beginning, you know, by Yaha word Ayla. Okay, so I know non scholars today feel that by Yaha word Ayla is sometimes later. You know, my professor had his commentary on Genesis said it means, but I say that by the Akeda, at least, here it is so much. By the Sashita Deva, it's so much. It is. Why?